You know, most, if not all, police officers will tell you that a good sense of humor is often needed to do a very difficult job. My next guest is a very funny man. His name is Vic Ferrari. He's also a retired veteran of the New York City Police Department with tons of law enforcement experience. Vic is also an amazing author. His latest book, Grand Theft Auto, a sneak peek into NYPD's auto crime division, is a must read. You are going to love Vic Ferrari. Next on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. We know you got many options, but thank you for tuning in to the CJ Evolution podcast. Evolution, because it's always changing, especially in these uncertain times. Thanks once again for being with us. A big shout out to the brave men and women who do a very difficult job in a very difficult environment. That's an understatement. Thank you for what you do, putting on the uniform, going out there every day, putting it all on the line. Thank you so much. Remember, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Don't believe all the crap you hear from a lot of media outlets. We love you. Keep up the great work. You know, it's such an honor to be partnered with an amazing company like Detectichem. This innovative company has come up with a way to protect our first responders, the ones who protect us every day by offering mobile threat detection available for the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives. This is must-have for any law enforcement agency anywhere. If you go to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Detectichem. See how they can help you better protect your troops. Folks, if you love coffee, and I know the majority of you do, you're in law enforcement and criminal justice, you're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. I've been pitching Four Sigmatic for a long time, and the reason is because I love their products. I'm a big fan of their Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee, and I bet you will be too. It doesn't taste like mushrooms. In fact, it tastes better than regular coffee, and it's better for you. If you head over to the website, cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic. From elixirs, cocos, to coffee, they have it all. You will not be disappointed. And best of all, you're going to get 15% off of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. Again, head over to cjevolution.com, see the link to Four Sigmatic. I remember recently going to my physician for a checkup, and I remember getting some blood work, and he said I was low in magnesium. Now, if there's one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powerful over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, even digestion, is influenced by the presence of magnesium. There are two big problems here. Magnesium has been largely missing from U.S. soil since the 1950s, which explains why it's estimated that up to 80% of the population may be deficient. And most supplements contain only one or two forms of magnesium, when in reality there are at least seven that your body needs and benefits from. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a new magnesium product I've been talking about called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the ultimate magnesium supplement, easily the best I've ever seen or experienced with all forms of this mineral. I'm even more excited because it's finally back in stock. Magnesium Breakthrough has been selling faster than the company who makes it, Bioptimizers, has been able to keep up with. It's already sold out a few times, and due to supply shortages, with everything going on in the world, it could very well be sold out again shortly. The CJ Evolution team was able to arrange some stock to be set aside just for our audience, and I guarantee it's the best deal available on this product. Seriously. With volume discounts combined with our custom 10% coupon code CJE10, you can save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. That's an amazing value. And I promise that deal is only available on this specific website, www.magbreakthrough.com/CJEvolution. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even the company's own website. This deal is exclusively for podcast listeners, and it's legitimately for a limited time while supplies last. They've also completely revamped their checkout process, and it's much friendlier and easier. Magnesium Breakthrough is the most effective magnesium supplement I've ever tried. Say goodbye to having to buy seven different bottles of magnesiums to get the complete dose. Again, go to www.magbreakthrough.com/CJEvolution CJEvolution and use coupon code CJE10 to save up to 40% off select packages to get the most full spectrum and effective magnesium product ever. You will not be disappointed. On to the show with the one and only Vic Ferrari. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am super excited to have my friend, Vic Ferrari, back on the show. Now, Vic is a retired New York City Police Department detective with a hamstrings of a 21-year-old. A survivor of an Irish father and Italian mother, Vic loves a cold beer and insists on you removing your shoes when you enter his home. When he's not riding, he's picking up after his neurotic Irish wolfhound. Vic Ferrari, welcome back, my friend.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
You know, I'm just doing fantastic. We had a little bit of a conversation off air, and I'm just glad you're back, brother. And you have a new book, which I want to talk about.
Yes. Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division.
My God. Now, before you get into it, I know I already said you're retired from one of the greatest, probably the greatest police departments in the world, NYPD. Thank you for your service, sir. Can you talk a little bit about your career, you know, through the years?
I'm just a kid that grew up in the Bronx. I always wanted to be a police officer when I was a little boy. I grew up watching Dirty Harry movies and the French Connection and the Seven Ups with Sonny Grasso and Eddie Egan. And my parents tried their best to talk me out of it. They really did. My father tried getting me into the Electricians Union. And I wanted to be a cop. And after high school, I bounced around a little bit with some menial jobs. And when the police test came out, I took it. And, you know, my career took off from there.
Now, it's still the New York City Police Department is still the largest municipal police department in the world, isn't it? Or in the United States?
It's in the United States, and it's actually larger than a lot of countries' militaries. I mean, at any given time, there's 35,000, if not more, men and women covering five boroughs. I think New York City has something like 16 million people. I mean, it's an army.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were some of the highlights of your career, Vic? I mean, I know you retired as a detective, but was there anything else?
I had a charmed life. I really did. I mean, I started off in the South Bronx. I worked in the narcotics division. I worked in the auto crime division, where I worked on chop shops and stolen vehicles and cars getting exported out of the country. I also did dignitary protection, where, you know, foreign dignitaries, heads of state came into the country, and we were supplemented with the Secret Service and the State Department. I got to meet a lot of famous people. I mean, either guarding them or just running into them in the street. It was a dream come true for me.
Now talk about auto theft, because I've never worked. I mean, I was a cop for many years, as you know. I've never worked auto theft. And one thing I love what you said about it, you said you might be surprised to learn crime does pay, especially auto theft. can you talk about that in your experiences with being in that division?
Sure. In the early 90s, when I was a police officer, the city of New York was averaging 100,000 stolen vehicles a year.
Holy crap.
And I think in 92 or 93, we hit 150,000. So no one was immune from it. It was almost like this COVID-19. At some point, right, you were going to come outside and either your car was gone.
It happened to me.
Your car's going to be gone, or you're going to find glass all over the interior, your radio gone, and it's rummaged through. It does pay. I mean, it did pay. I mean, I've been out of the game now almost 15 years, but there's no, think about it, to get into auto theft, there's no startup costs. Your only overhead is getting your ass kicked by the owner if they catch you.
Or shot.
You're not going to get any jail time if you do get caught in New York. You paid cash. You don't have to worry about a busy 1099 at the end of the year. You make your own hours. I mean, you know,
is there a union with this, or
no? It's kind of like the Wild West.
Now, talk about, I mean, what do people, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that have no idea, somebody like you who worked on a crime division, what happens when a vehicle gets stolen on average? I mean, I know what happens, but for the person listening out there, what happens to a car? You come jack my car, what happens?
As far as what happens to it?
Or yeah, the process for the majority of times. You know, I mean, is the vehicle sold off? Is it chopped up? What?
Well, in New York City, okay, you got several different types of car thieves. You have the garden variety pests. And when I mean pests, I'm talking about kids that steal cars to joyride, to show off to their girlfriends, right? Then you have drug addicts and junkies. They steal cars to get around. And also when they, you know, they'll rummage through the car, they'll sell whatever they find in the car. They'll buy them a couple of bags of dope. And then they'll go and park off in a parking lot or out in a park somewhere where they can get high because, you know, their family and friends really don't want to deal with them anymore stealing. So the car provides a safe haven for them for a couple hours. Then you have the professionals that, you know, they're taking orders. So they're involved with the body shops, the salvage yards, guys that are shipping cars out of the country, guys that are selling parts on eBay. They take orders. So for argument's sake, when I was a cop, Honda Accords, Toyota Camrys, were the hot cars because they were a couple of years old. People get into accidents and there's always supply and demand for the headlights, the grills, the radiators, the air conditioning compressors. And then, you know, with the collision shops, it's the doors, the fenders, the hoods. And then the cars are also stolen to change the vehicle identification numbers for resale. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's harder now, Vic? I mean, with all the technology, especially new cars, do you think it's harder or criminals have adapted? Because now we got GPS and all these LoJack shit out there. You know, it's easier to track stolen vehicles. I mean, do you think criminals have just probably adapted?
They've evolved, but it's not as easy as it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days with the General Motors products, all you needed was a screwdriver. I mean, just to crack that steering column and then manipulate the gears to start the car, or the old Toyota Camrys that, you know, a five-year-old could break the ignition. Junkies used to steal those cars with a sharpened pair of scissors. They could just, you know, like the old scissors your mother would have to cut fabric. They would ram them in there and break the column. But you are right. I mean, with LoJack, GPS,
fobs, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's the one. You know, it's one of those things where the junkies and kids probably have moved on to something else. But guys that are taking orders, yeah, they're gonna. You know, somebody knows somebody that's gonna be able to cut them a key or reprogram a key fob or. You know, a lot of people, when they valet park their cars, always make sure that you don't leave your registration license in there. Or in a lot of the high-end vehicles, with your owner's manual, they give you like that leather-bound book that you shove in the glove compartment and never look at it again. That usually has what's called a valet key in there. There's a plastic key or a second set of keys that'll start the car. So what these garage attendants will do is they'll rummage through your car. They'll find these items. And they'll take them. They'll write down your address, and then they'll come back for your car, or they'll send somebody out for your car.
Yeah, and I know when it comes to auto theft, when I was a detective, and I didn't work specifically auto theft, but a lot of these, not all of them, but a lot of them were just people leaving. And I don't know how it was in New York City, here where I was at. I mean, people leave their goddamn cars unlocked and shit. People leave their keys in the car. I mean, it just amazes me with some of these crimes. A lot of them is crimes of opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And those are the pests that'll get those. Like in New York, it's rare when you see somebody with their windows rolled down and the key in the ignition and the motor running. It's just such low-lying fruit that it's gonna, you know what I mean?
So with your new book, Grand Theft Auto, tell us some stories without giving away the whole book. Tell us some of the funniest stories. Because cop work, and all you guys know out there who's working in criminal justice, and if you're a cop, you know that humor is a foundation of police work. So any good stories you can share with us, Vic?
Sure. I mean, the book, I lay out who steals your car, what happens to it after it's stolen. And then I go into some in-depth cases of, you know, cars being taken. But there's some funny stuff in there. Like there's a chapter in there about parking garages and tow truck drivers, because, and I hate to say it, but anybody involved in that industry that I dealt with was a scumbag. They take your car, they hold it as collateral, and, you know, it's that F you pay me to get your car back. So one of the stories in there was when I was a young cop, we got flagged down by these two attractive nuns. And I thought it was, you know, a college sorority initiation prank. And the two nuns had stolen Mother Superior's car from Westchester County and gone on a wild shopping spree, left their car in a pizza parking lot that had a sign that said, you know, pizza customers only, all others will be towed. They got their car towed. Well, this is pre-ATMs. They were out of cash and the garage attendant wouldn't give them their car back. So I had to go front $100 for these two nuns to get their car out on Mother Superior. They were going to have to face the organ music.
And they were real nuns.
Yeah. And good looking too. So what happens is she insists on paying me back. And I said, no, it's okay. She goes, no, I want to pay you back. So I was in my early 20s living with my parents. I come home one day and my father's got this shit eating grin. And he goes, hey, Sister Samantha called. And I said, okay. And I walked away. And I could tell, like, he wanted to know, you know.
Come on, expand on the story.
Yeah, he goes, Sister Samantha called. And I said, I know, you said. And he's just smiling. I go, Dad, she's a nun. And he goes, oh, Vic, I don't care who you date. Wait a minute. A nun? I said, yeah. He goes, why is a nun calling here? I go, Dad, don't worry about it. She just owes me money. Which my father was Catholic and was like, what the? So then it became a Tom Clancy novel because I had to go up to the convent, which she didn't have access to a phone. So I had to keep going up to this convent and there was a park nearby. And then she sat at the park and then I had to come over and make it nonchalant. And she handed me an envelope. So it just turned it. Anyone out there, you know, when you lend somebody money, what a pain in the ass it is to get it back. Mm-hmm. If you're going to lend money to a nun, you're really going to have to wait.
I love it. Now, how long is this book that you wrote?
It's 240 pages. I try not to make my books, you know, to straddle somebody with something. It's a type of book you can pick it up, go to any chapter and go. I hate writing in chronological order. It's just I can't do it. So I jump around quite a bit, but it's just funny and interesting stories throughout my career.
I think every cop out there, and maybe I've told you this before, I think every cop out there has a story. You know what I mean? Especially in a big city like NYPD or LAPD or whatever. I think, I mean, you just see, and especially with a long career, you just see so much things over your career. And I know I've seen just hilarious stuff. I mean, some of it obviously very sad, but a lot of it funny.
Yeah. I mean, you see it all. You see
the greatest show on earth, brother.
It is. You see the good in people. You see the bad in people. You see the bizarre. It's almost like, I can't explain it. It's like a science experiment when you become a cop. I mean, you are a ringmaster with a gun, a whip, and a chair.
Now, what made you, I mean, so you get out, you're retired. Did you start writing before you left the job or how did it go?
No, I retired and my friends, you know, that aren't cops would always say, wow, you got so many stories. You should really write this down. I said, no one wants to hear it. Like, no, I'm telling you, you should really do it. So I started, you know, I put one book out and it did well. And then I put another book out and it's kind of blossomed into this is my fourth one. Mm-hmm. I hope it sells, especially now in the current climate. No one's got seems to have a sense of humor like law enforcement anymore. But it is what it is. It's therapeutic for me. I enjoy doing it. So we'll see where it takes me.
Now, what are some suggestions that you have for aspiring writers? Because again, I think everybody, at least the cops I know, you know, they always talked about, not all of them, but a lot of them, talked about writing a book, putting pen to paper, and they never did it. I wrote a book last year. I'll have to send it to you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But what tips would you give for people out there that really, really want to put something down on paper?
To begin with, get a legal pad. Yeah. And just write out some points, like where you want to go with it. And then especially a new author, don't try to write in chronological order. You're just going to get hung up. And it's almost like my books, it's almost like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. At the very end,
love that
everything gets tied in together. But don't try to tie everything in together originally. Just if you got a funny story, start working on that. When you become frustrated with that and you don't think you can take it any further, jump to the next story, because what'll happen is you'll get writer's block if you come to a dead end and you just stand there and look at it. Give mm-hmm. it a write about something else in the book or write about write about anything else. And then a week, 2 weeks, a month later, come back to that, and you will. You'll look at it and go, what was I even thinking there? You'll see something on TV, or someone will say something. Also, tell your stories. Like, if you've got a story that you want to write about, tell it to somebody. Mm-hmm. Sitting there writing it down is only going to get you that far. When you're telling the story to someone, you're adding adjectives. You can just explain it so much. For me, it's easier for me to explain a story than to write it down. That's why I'll have to basically annoy friends and family with this. And I'm sitting there telling a story. I'm like, oh, that's good. Yeah, I can work with this. So, you know, don't get hung up if you come to a dead end. You know, go to another chapter. Write about something else in the book. Write about the end of the book first. Write about the middle. Don't try to go in chronological order, especially, you know, I mean, I never took a creative writing class or a journalism class. I just kind of, you know, winged it.
Well, that's the best thing. And the point is that you got to start, you know, and so many people procrastinate. And you just got to, like you said, just throw things down on paper, man. I still do keep a pad of paper next to my bed. And if I have because I'm a light sleeper anyway, if I get up and have a thought at night, I'll just jot it down really quick.
Right.
You know,
right.
it's just writing things down constantly because I can't remember anything anymore. I'm too old.
Right. And there's nothing worse when you had the greatest idea in the world watching something on TV the night before, and you wake up and you're like,
oh shit, what the hell was that?
Oh, right. And yeah, just, you know, if you're a writer, keep a pad in the car, keep a pad, you know, where you have your coffee, you know, just get a couple of legal pads and notepads and just put them around the house.
So you got Grand Theft Auto, the newest book. Tell us about the other books you got out there, Vic.
The one before that is the NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos. That's the funnier side of the NYPD. That's stories just of guys getting in trouble and things that I've seen. And to give you an example, there's a story in there. My partner and I found this Russian girl wandering around the Bronx, lost. Her parents worked at the Russian embassy. If anyone's ever watched the show, The Americans. Oh, yeah. Have you watched that?
Yeah.
I had never seen the show before, and you know, this happened pre that show. Then now I'm starting to wonder if, you know, were these people, you know, spies? But anyway, the daughter took off. The parents weren't diplomats, but they did work at the Russian embassy up in the Bronx, and the daughter went off the reservation. We find the girl, we bring her home, and the parents don't speak a word of English, and we've got to count on the brother, the interpreter. The father was built like a Russian bear. He's hugging us. He's trying to give us gifts. NYPD cops are forbidden to accept any gratuities. And this guy's trying to give us vodka. I'm trying to get out of the house to get away with this guy because you're supposed to go through channels. Yeah. You get involved with these people. We just were bringing this kid home. It was just like a lost kid. You know,
now you're involved in some international incident.
Right. Yeah. And my partner's retiring in 2 weeks. And he's like, hold on a second, Vic. Boris is breaking out with the Scully. I'm like, are you out of your friggin' mind? Let's get the frig out of here. So it's loaded with funny stories that, you know, that happened throughout the course of my career. And then the one in back of that is, I'm losing my mind. NYPD Through the Looking Glass.
Through the Looking Glass, yeah.
Yeah, stories from from America's largest police department. That's similar to the NYPD's Flying Circus. That's got stories about, again, guys getting in trouble. There was a guy in my precinct that safeguarded. He went out for drinks. He put his .38 caliber revolver in the one place he thought no one would look, his stove. Came home, had a couple of beers, preheated the oven to make some frozen pizzas. The gun starts shooting at him from the next room. He has to call emergency service for his barricaded firearm that's letting off rounds from the gun in the oven. Oh, yeah. He got in a lot of trouble for that.
I would say so. Now, let's talk, if you don't mind, let's shift. You know, we live in a crazy world right now, Vic. You know that. You watch the news. How do you think, and I know it's a very probably deep question. You were a cop for many years, so was I. How do you think in this environment, are the police officers, law enforcement, are we going to survive this? We've survived things before in the past, incidents, moments in time. How are we going to come out of this?
I wish I had a crystal ball. Yeah. I don't know. It's the deck is stacked against them. You have an unappreciated public that's coming after them and disrespecting them and fighting with them, right? Then you have prosecutors and mayors with agendas that are just throwing them onto the bus. I mean, I wrote in my last book, I mean, the day that the police in this country turn their heads, look the other way, or aren't proactive, I mean, God have mercy on us.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, they're not going to want to stop that guy that's just kind of hanging out in front of the 7-Eleven getting ready to rob the store. They're going to drive off, and if they get robbed or the clerk gets hurt, they're going to come and take a report. You know what I mean? It's sad.
Well, and I like you, I imagine you feel the same way. I mean, I believe that the majority of cops out there, 99% of them are good people. They go out there, they do a very difficult job in a very difficult environment. But there are bad cops out there. You know that, Vic. But I hate getting painted, you know, with the same brush. Everybody's getting painted with the same brush now.
Absolutely. And look, I mean, no one wants to hear this, but it's true. Everyone's had a shitty meal at a restaurant. Everyone's had a shitty contractor come into their house and do a half-assed job. And unfortunately, every now and then, you're going to get a shitty cop.
Yeah.
But the reality is most cops are hardworking people that just want to go home at the end of the day. You know, they enjoy helping people. They enjoy protecting people. They're not running around, you know, looking to hurt people. Does it happen? Yeah, it happens, but not to the degree that's being represented by these movements.
No. And hopefully I'm a believer in that we will, you know, come out of this stronger, more resilient. I think it's going to be hard. You and I talked about it before we went on the air about, you know, people who want to become cops anymore. I think there's still people who are going to do the job, but I remember when I retired, it was very difficult, you know, to recruit in these, and that was before all this stuff was happening. It's very difficult. And I can't imagine with a department like NYPD where you're, you know, you could be thousands down at one period. You know what I mean? Thousands down. And as far as, you know, you need 1,000 cops.
But yeah. And the NYPD does hire in bulk. So when I got hired, I was in a class of 1,200.
Jeez. Wow.
And while my class was in the academy, there was another class of 500 or 600 that was getting out a couple of months before me. The problem with the NYPD is with hiring in bulk, it's going to work again. I understand they have to hire in bulk, but it's going to work against you. And they did, and no one wants to hear this, but they did lower the requirements. It just, they lowered the requirements.
Because they're not getting the quality applicants, probably.
Well, they for argument's sake, they took boxing out of the academy. Why would you do that? Because some of the people were getting their noses broken and complaining about it. Well, if you get your nose broken in the gym, better that than to have it done in the street. What are you going to do? Tell the guy that's breaking your nose, ouch, and walk away after he tries to pull your gun? Once you get your nose broken and you give up, what do you think is next? When I was retiring, I would get phone calls from our applicant investigation unit every couple of months. Hey, do you know Joe Blow? You arrested him in, you know, August of 97. All right, let me go look. Yeah, I got him in a stolen car and there were drugs in the car. Well, he says he didn't steal the car. I'm like, why are you asking? I would get calls from our applicant guys that people that had been arrested trying to come on the job that either A, didn't list it, or B, did list it, and they were on the fence about hiring these people.
My God. Come on.
It's scary.
Come on. Well, Vic, where can people find you, my friend? Where can people find your amazing books?
My new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division, can be found on Amazon. It's $10 paperback and $2.99 ebook. All you got to do is just go to Amazon, search for the book, and it'll come right up.
Vic Ferrari, everything, folks, will be linked up in the show notes. Vic, much success to you, my friend. I got to get your new book, Grand Theft Auto. And again, welcome back to the show. Glad you were here. And again, anything we can do for you in the future, sir, please let me know.
Patrick, thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.